It's getting very Christmassy in the world of European MMA, and we're back on the south side in Milltown, Stillorgan, home of Graeme McLaughlin McDonald, a severe MMA glory. But here we are with Niall McGrath. You've somehow snared us back to your neck of the woods. How did you, did you manage this?
You know that.
I was dying to get over it.
Yeah, you were.
We actually had to go and meet Paul Redmond earlier today for an interview because his fight with Ryan Scope was just booked. But are you feeling Christmassy yet?
No, I've been stuck in the office all weekend, so no, not getting very Christmassy there. Maybe listen to the ads on TV, but that's about it. Literally nothing else, mate. Nah, town is buzzing around. There's a vibe around, but no, I haven't done anything yet. I've shopping and all to do for my nieces and nephews and my mum and dad, so...
Yikes.
This week I will, I'd say. We'll get into it. When the boys start coming back in from overseas and shit like that, and the points start flowing. I believe you might have had a point, Peter.
I did. I had two of the most legendary points.
The roles have been reversed.
Yeah, I really did feel like Niall McGrath this weekend, out being a Lothario, out, you know, dancing.
I felt wonderful the last 3 weeks we've done this.
Yeah.
Because I've been good. So I've been stuck in work. Saturdays and Sundays doesn't help. So
yeah,
that's my weekends down the drain. I'm a midweek drinker now, Peter.
Yeah, it's a good way to be honest. I'm usually like that myself, but I went down to the Straw Hall with my mates, Colleen, Sans and Paul, and we enjoyed their fabulous Guinness. It's a nightmare to get home from, but I got home fine. The rest of them were stuck there for
an Guinness hour. The Guinness looked
delicious. It was fantastic. And then the hole in the wall last night, met up with Keith Pendred, Owen Colgan, and some of those hardy books. Me and Elaine were down there. Very good times. I think my mate Keith actually drafted me into the hole in the wall because he was on a date, and he brought me and Elaine because we're the best crack couple in the whole world. Wouldn't you agree?
No. Elaine's good crack. You're miserable.
I am the best crack. The only problem is, I think that sometimes, you know, they're bringing me in and Lane in. The problem is, the girls usually start falling for me. And it's like, dude, you know what I mean?
I get that a lot.
Bad
as well.
Idea. You know, I'm too good looking to do this kind of thing.
Yeah, I do get that a lot. Yeah. Girls are intimidated by my beauty, I feel.
Well, that's why I keep you away from Elaine, because she just run away with you.
That's it.
But
100%.
I'm very Christmassy now, after that weekend of feasting on Uncle Arthur.
It is out in the roads, but I'm slowly getting there, but I'm not at that level yet. I'll wait till I get about 15 points to be honest.
Yeah, that's 15 points is a lot. As we were discussing.
It's not.
I'm more of 4 or 5.
Like 4 or 5 is
carried home.
Is breakfast, mate. 6 or 7.
I'm
is
not out.
6 or 7 is lunch to 8. And then Anthem Plus, that's a night out.
I love that you just drink Guinness in nightclubs.
Because everything else is like, it's not great now in the nightclubs, but I tell you, I'm not drinking that fucking any spirit and shit. It's like petrol, mate.
Is it keeping up appearances at that stage? Like, you just, if in case the squad see you, like, yeah, now you're damn right, have a point again, it's mate.
Yeah. Why not?
Right.
Fuck them all.
I better run through these latest news headlines after a big, big week, UFC 245, of course, so.
This is number one bullshit.
Kamaru Usman says Leon Edwards deserves the next shot at his welterweight title. Of course, Jorge Masvidal still at play there, and a lot of people still seeing Leon Edwards as the odd man out, but that is interesting that Usman has said that he is deserving of that. That has to be a good thing for Leon. Dana White says McGregor will get another shot at Khabib following a win over Donald Cerrone, which has raised quite a few eyebrows. Francis Ngannou v. Jairzinho Rosenstruck will get it on March 28th. John Phillips v. undefeated Dusko Todorovic will go down at UFC London, the second fight confirmed for that. Earlier today, we found that the Paul Redmond v. Ryan Scope is going to happen February 22nd. Absolutely brilliant. Queeley v. Brent Primus, Liam McCourt v. Judith Ruiz, Dylan Logan v. Tom Mearns, Kieran Clark v. Jamie Folding, Ilias Bulyad v. Diego Freitas, and Constantine Blanida versus Asil Adudi. I don't know how to pronounce that name. All booked for Bellator Dublin as well. And finally, the cast of Cage Warriors London on March 20th, the day before UFC London, I expect it to be a big show, has been announced. Paddy v. Donovan Desime, third time's a charm. Is going to take precedent on that card. Obviously, Samir Fadeen, Mason Jones, Ian Garry, Corey McKenna, Sam Creasy, Jamie Richardson, Emre Somers, Darren O'Gorman, Nathan Jones, Kingsley Crawford and James Hendon all set for action on the night as well.
Whew. Interesting ones before you get going.
I wanted to talk to you about a few of these because a lot of these are interesting. Where do you feel Leon is now after this?
He's the man.
Do you think he'll get it though?
No.
I think he'll get it in 2020.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to get it next. I think there's other fights.
Can I do Masvidal?
Yeah. That's what I would think. That's the big money sort of name at the moment. I think Usman's stock has risen after the weekend with that win over Colby. Did everything right on the microphone afterwards. Didn't, you know, go ahead and shit in Colby Covington. Said he was the best. No one comes near him. And I think when you're fighting a guy like Colby, I think there was a lot more eyes than normal On the fight, yeah, we'll talk about the fight obviously later on. But Usman, as far as his career wants to go, if it's the money fight, you know, it is Masvidal. I think that will be the sensible one.
And they don't come along that often, right? Exactly. Like a money fight like that, you gotta go. Like,
you gotta strike while the iron's hot. And I think the UFC have been doing that obviously in the last 3 to 4 years. So I think that's the fight they're going to be targeting. And I think Leon's going to have to wait out again. But you know, Leon does deserve it, but I don't think it's going to happen.
What do you think of this? McGregor, another shot at Habib after Cerrone. That seems a bit mad, doesn't it?
Yeah. Dana's talking drain here again.
Absolute sack.
Yeah, I think Conor clearly is going after that 170. Masvidal fight, as we just mentioned, he's the man at the moment. He tweeted that as well. I think he put 145, 155, 170. I commented on my Twitter that looked like an IP address. It was dots after. But yeah, I think that is where he's going. I can't see Habib happening. I think you were right what you said last week. And in terms of Conor, what he said in relation to having this season of fights, I think that is the line he's going to go down. And I think he's going to push hard after. I do believe he's going to beat Cowboy. He'll get on the mic and he'll call for Masvidal.
Interesting, yeah, that could obscure that. But
what
for
do you
Usman,
think? I think that is the...
Yeah, I think he'll want to go with his own plan. There will be some friction along the way, as always. But, you know, Paul Revan v. Ryan Scope, big, big fight. We needed another big fight on that card. Because, yeah. We'll talk about the fights now in a minute, because I have some... Not too happy about some of them, but well, one in particular. But Paul v. Ryan's a brilliant fight.
Yeah, Paul versus Ryan is a really good fight. I think it adds to, you know, as we said last week, Peter Queeley and Brent Primus in terms of actually having really good matchups in the card. And that's what we need. That's what we've been sort of starved of. We've been critical of the matchmaking, and it has. And I asked Peter Queeley that, and Peter actually sort of agreed with me. Yeah. He's been very, very honest last week when we spoke with him. And I think, you know, that fight between Primus and Queeley does potentially, you know, they're knocking on the door for a title shot after that. And I think that's what Peter's being told from what he was saying in the interview. And I think Paul Redmond and Ryan Scope, if Paul wins that could potentially set up a, you know, a title eliminator literally against Peter Queeley or Brent Primus. So it's really exciting times for the lads and the Irish guys in Bellator. And that proves that there is something on the line in these Bellator events.
Exactly, yeah, and that's a good point, because they have an opportunity there to make a story that will be able to be brought into a next event, and that's something that they're really lacking.
Short
I hope
of,
they do
definitely.
It. Just one note on this Bellator card. Ilias Buleid is, you know, a veteran of nearly 200 kickboxing fights, and for the second time now he's been matched with a fighter who's never competed before. You know, a debuting pro.
Very Bellator.
I think you need to have a look at that. Like, I'm not messing. I think the commission need to have a look at that. If you remember the Taekwondo girl, she was matched with a fighter they didn't think was adequate, and Mohegan Sun actually pulled it. But I don't think that's fair at all. Like, Bulliard destroyed the guy he fought in his debut. He's brilliant kickboxer. He's absolutely fantastic. Can't be putting in a poor guy who's never fought before against a guy who's spent his whole life kickboxing.
Crazy.
I mean, that's dangerous.
But Bellator tend to do that, even with, you know, sort of lower down fights we mightn't hear of Olympians coming in,
it's
and wrestlers kickboxing. It's not good enough.
You have a responsibility to make people be safe in there, as safe as they can be, you know.
Exactly,
what I mean?
Yeah. And that's a very, very odd one.
It's
for
just
me,
poor. It's not professional. It's not professional.
It's not
to do
professional,
that.
And it's putting a smokescreen, you know, on opponents he's going to be beaten, and he's probably going to go in there and starch him. And it's, you know, he's literally padding his record to a certain extent, if that's what they're trying to do.
Transitioning, but it's a different thing going from the gym to a fight to, you know, a decorated kickboxing world champion
definitely
to fucking MMA.
Yeah, big
but
time.
Like, just wanted some talking points, and it is a bit on Leon Edwards, etc., and Peter Yan after the, you know, Yan's huge performance at UFC 245. We'll talk about it later on. We've been trying to get Peter on the show. Unfortunately, he just doesn't have a translator with him. We're trying to get it sorted with the great Soyat. Don't know if we're going to be able to pull it off, but, you know, fingers crossed we'll get him on in a couple of weeks if we can't get him this week.
I'd be scared if I were you.
I tread very carefully.
He's coming for you next.
But one talking point I wanted to kind of bring up is, you know, the great sense that I got at this event the other day was we could potentially have a huge 2020 in our hands for European fighters. Leon Edwards is right at the top of that list now for the welterweight title. Yan is right at the top of the list for the 135 title. You have Jojo and Molly making big moves at 125. I think Molly's on a 3-fight win streak. Jojo has been in the conversation for a long time. You have Till and Hermanson at middleweight. We're going to hear from Jack later on. And Jan Blachowicz right at the knocking on the door at 205. I think, you know, we've made
McGregor?
Yeah, McGregor coming back. Habib is the champion. Valentina, who we've claimed Habib and
US
Valentina.
Who?
Yeah. But right, so we have two championships out of, what, 9 now?
Yeah.
I think potentially we could be adding three, four, maybe, like, you know, one or two in 2020 as well.
Definitely. I totally agree. And I think as well, you look at Bellator, you know, this guy's knocking on the door there, as we said, you know, this Dublin card potentially kicking on for the second half of 2020 in order to get title shots. It's going to be a fun year. And yeah, listen, man, I wouldn't bet against any of those. You know, I think Darren's right in the doorstep as well. If, you know, obviously, if you jack on this week, he's going to speak about that. That's a potentially cracking fight as well.
Brilliant fight.
And the winner is, you know, literally... especially if Darren wins. I think Darren is right there after the
huge name
fight.
Yeah, of course,
no brainer. So yeah, loads to look forward to.
It's actually funny, I was talking to Jack about that. I was like, it's funny, right? I'm sure you felt as though it was, you know, the end of the world basically when you lost to Conor, but if this Till fight happens, I mean, you're right there again.
Yeah,
like, you're right there again.
It's literally it's like a reprieve. It's like a it's like a second you know, sort of spot for him and a second opportunity for him to kick on. And and you know, if he went out and knocked out Darren Till or submitted Darren Till in the first or second round, bang, he's right up there again.
Absolutely, man, absolutely. Just finally, we're at the Bellator media day during the week.
We were very warm.
Very warm there. Some great pictures of you. You're in a beautiful position there. I made sure I got that out.
Turtled up.
Fantastic.
Yeah, disgusting.
Your booty was popping.
Yeah, no, I'm hot. Like, I got a lot of social media traction. People were DMing me and stuff as well.
Do you sell your underwear to your fans online?
Yeah.
How much?
50 quid a pop.
Bargain. But I'd say once they get like a photograph like that and they see the Calvins on you, I'd say that drives it up double the price.
Massively. Yeah.
Like, he could have bollock sweat still in there. Like.
Jesus, that's okay. That's a bit too far.
Some of that ball soup. Or just some of that McGrath.
Okay, let's just move on.
A cup of ball soup. But yeah, it was good times. Definitely James and Cal have a good bit of fire there between them now, don't they?
Yeah, and I think James was very interesting. He's trying to stir up. Obviously, he's great at it, you know, putting eyes on fights.
It's funny because you ask him, he's like, no, not at all. And then he goes on and he says all this. Yeah, and we're like, what? Jesus.
Yeah. So he basically said, you know, and he probably said the same to you, that Cal was very much, you know, he believes Cal just looked for a way out and he could have got him a brain scan. Just sort of some silly comments, really, from James, just stirring you got to respect Cal, though. You know, he's bopped straight back in there. He had a really, really tough time.
And he's selling
it as well.
His mum
died. Obviously, he had the issues with the scan. And he's selling it. He's going in there believing, you know, after that winning against Nathan Grayson, who I think people sort of underestimate how good Cal is and how much of a star and an underrated, underappreciated guy he is on the UK MMA scene. This is a real test. This is a really, really good fight, man. And the top three fights, as we said, in the card are excellent matchups.
Yeah.
And I'm just really excited. After speaking to two of them, I think I'm more excited now than I was maybe going into last week.
I'm definitely more excited. And, like, this needed to happen. This animosity needed to happen because it was never going to be sold on these two lads get on well. But the thing with James is, like, and this is why it's such a big opportunity for Cal. Like, and I said to you, I've been to Bellator events in London and stuff. They aren't the same as when Gallagher fights in the Tree Arena. It's a sellout every time. It's huge. People stay there at the last fight. You know, you saw people leaving in London after their guys were on or whatever. They were leaving, you know, like, this is a big thing here.
You know, and the funny thing is, again, you see a lot of comments on James, and you know, I got a couple of messages from my mates as well, and I'm obviously not going to name them, but who's this fucking idiot? Who's this clown?
That's what he's trying to
do. You know, that's exactly, people don't get it, and you're still talking about him, you're still bitching and moaning. You're the idiot that's buying into it.
He often says it.
You're like, invested in what he wants to do.
They're helping me build my brand.
Exactly, 100%.
Like, and the thing is, he's the most talked about fighter in Europe. Like, I mean, more than MVP. MVP.
Yeah,
on their roster in Europe, he's definitely the most talked about guy.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Listen, to be honest, he's probably the most talked about roster in the world nearly. Who else? Let's be honest.
That's what he was saying to me. He's got, like, you know, name a champion that's a bigger draw than me. You know, he's definitely got an argument there.
Oh, I think
at 135, who's the biggest name?
James Gallagher. I understand.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Who's the biggest name in Bellator MMA?
22.
Who's the biggest, the most well-known fighter in Bellator MMA? It's tough to argue outside of James in terms of what he's doing. Like,
the traction he's getting.
The traction is unbelievable.
And he's relevant
online.
Now. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's happening now for him.
There you go.
Yeah. Right, well, look, we were talking about what a big year it could be potentially for European MMA in 2020. And look, the rumours are rife. We talked about it last week on the show between Leon Edwards and Tyron Woodley. I feel like Tyron Woodley needs to get paid there. I feel like they need to give him some money if they want to come to London. But Jack Hermanson and Till is another fight that a lot of people are talking about and a lot of people are excited about. Hermanson believes this fight can happen. We got a word with him earlier this week. Always a gentleman. Fantastic insight on his reaction to the defeat, how it's motivated him, and what securing this London main event would mean to him. So always great to speak to the great Jack Hermanson. We'll be back very shortly to have a look at what happened last week.
I am now joined by one of the greatest European fighters that is currently competing in this era. It is none other than Jack Hermansson. Jack, how are you, my friend? Long time no speak.
Yeah, it was a time ago now. I'm good, man. It's been good that I'm back in full training and, looking forward to next year.
Absolutely, absolutely. I must ask you, you know, the last time we would speak, it was ahead of that Cannonair fight. And look, I spoke to you before this and we knew the tremendous risk that you took that night. And unfortunately, it didn't go your way. But I mean, how has it been? You know, I know everybody in Europe was in your corner that night. We all wanted to see you enter that middleweight title picture. But has it been difficult since then? I know it was obviously a huge platform for you that night.
It was, you know, it's always tough with the loss, but at the same time, now I felt like I learned from this, and it was a good experience in some ways, you know. I knew what I could do that night, but I didn't manage to do it, so and I felt like I learned why now, and I feel like a better fighter, so I'm looking forward to what's coming, and I'm sure that I will be able to perform better in my next bout.
And I mean, I really respect the fact that you put it all on the line that night just to compete in front of your fans in Scandinavia there, of course, because we knew the great position you were in. And I think media, fighters and fans, I think everybody really respects the fact that you risked everything that night. You put it all on the line. I mean, do you feel good about that? That's something that you've always been known for in your career, fighting anyone, fighting all comers. We thought it would be a different opponent that night, but you had no problem in signing on the dotted line. Do you think that stands to you?
Yeah, for sure, and I don't regret it at all. You know, I feel like if I lose, then it's for a reason. You know, if I want to reach the top and I want to be able to beat everybody, so I'm not the person that will, trying to find a, a smart way to beat her. And I feel like I should have beat him, and if I couldn't, then there's something. That's not complete yet, so I feel like that was a part of the process, and as I said, I feel like I'm better now just because of that loss, so maybe that was a piece that that I needed to be even better fighter.
Yes, absolutely. I just one more question on this, Jack. The fight and obviously the result reminded me a lot of Alexander Gustafsson and Anthony Johnson, that fight that happened all those years ago in Sweden. But Gustafsson, you know, he said this made him so much of a better fighter. He went on to fight for the title many times afterwards. But does it make it like one of the harder losses of your career because it was in front of your own people and the fact that you were the main guy there, right? Everybody was there to see you that night.
It was tough, but at the same time, I had tougher losses before, I feel like I found a good way of handling it, and after a fight like that, when you lose, you need to look over the picture, what went wrong, and take what you can from it, and then you need to look ahead. You know, I only dropped one spot on the rankings, and I'm sure I will have more great opportunities in close future. So I don't feel too bad about it actually, and I'm sure that my time will come.
Amazing, amazing. You already sound like you are back to full strength, and that is very good news because you have been subject to a lot of rumors ever since this UFC London card emerged. Heard on our show, what we are hearing is the fights the UFC have been thinking about putting on here is Darren Till v. Jack Hermansson or Leon Edwards v. Tyron Woodley. Now, we already heard that Tyron Woodley has no interest in going to London. Is that fight with Till something you'd be interested in?
Definitely. I think that's the best opponent that I could face in the moment. And I think that's a fight that would make a lot of fans excited. And I think it belongs on the London card. So Darren is new in the division. He had a great fight against Gastelum. And I think I will be a good next test for him. So I would love that fight.
Yeah, and I mean, I can remember we spoke about Till ahead of that fight, and I was the one saying to you, this is a crazy matchup. Why would they put Till straight in there against Gastelum?
Yeah.
I mean, that was quite impressive, wasn't it? I really was impressed with what Darren did that night.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was like, I think that was one of his best fights, actually.
Absolutely.
Because game plan-wise and how he handled the distance, not just keeping the distance, but when Gastelum wanted to close it, he closed it with him and clinched up. And I think it was a beautiful executed game plan. So I was super impressed with Darren.
Can you tell us if this is something that you believe is in the process of happening? Have the UFC talked to you about this? Like, how far are we along in the process of making this a thing? Because I believe if that fight happened, the UFC could bill it as, let's see who the best middleweight in Europe is. And that is a huge headline, right, for a fight card like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not sure where they are in the process right now, but I know that, you know, Till and Whittaker have been flirting with each other. But I also got some indications that they like this fight between me and Till. So I'm positive that we'll make this happen. And yeah, I'm gonna work for it. And, you know, there has been some rumors about Cannonier and Whittaker. Mm. So if that fight will happen, then I feel like it's a pretty logic fight as well that you know, me and Till would fight, and as you say, would determine who the best middleweight in Europe is, and I think that's a exciting thought.
Absolutely, absolutely, and even the style matchup is incredible as far as I'm concerned. What do you think of the matchup? I mean, you just said there that you were blown away by what Till did to Gastelum. I mean, does that excite you, the thought of facing a guy who's tall, you know, known for his knockout power, you know, just after that fantastic striking showcase you put on against Jacare? That's what's really exciting me when I think about this, and of course your signature guillotine, which I've raved about for a long time now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fight that excites me, and both because he's a great fighter and he's a well-known fighter as well.
Yes.
So I think it's he's a good name to be fighting against, and I think it's a exciting clash of styles as well, with me probably being a little bit more wrestling and ground heavy, and Till a little bit more of a stand-up fighter. But this is something that I learned from my last fight with Cannonier, is that, you know, I'm not going to lock myself into the ground game and wrestling too much, you know, because that takes away from my stand-up. As you mentioned, the Jacare fight, that was a fight where I was just like thinking in that fight, you know, I don't need to take this fight to the ground because he's the best on the ground, right? So, and that made me fight better in the stand-up. So I feel like in a fight with Till, I would really take my time and, you know, not rush the ground game at all. But so I could, yeah, I see myself, I see us having a great fight. And I would love to make that happen.
It's funny, isn't it, Jack? Because, you know, I'm sure, I can only imagine, of course, but when you suffer this defeat to Cannonier, you must be thinking, oh, this is going to put more time towards my climb to the UFC title. But I really feel like if this fight happens and you beat Darren Till after he beats Kelvin Gastelum, the UFC have a very interesting proposition on their hands there, right?
definitely. So you know, I might not be first in line if I win the fight, but maybe second. Yes. So it's I love that thought as well, of course. So I still think, you know, even if I lost my last fight, I believe that I can make some great things happen next year and to get back in there in title contention.
Absolutely, yes. And I was just wondering, right, because the last time I spoke to you, Robert Whittaker was the champion of the middleweight division. And, you know, Stylebender shocked a lot of people by getting the win that night in such emphatic fashion in the second round, I believe. I was in Melbourne for that fight. And I just feel as though this is a whole new era now. This Stylebender guy, he's one of the big names in the UFC now. But I mean, what do you think of his ascent in the UFC? Did that surprise you when he beat Whittaker the way he did?
You know, it takes a lot to surprise me, but I did have Whittaker as the favorite, so I was very impressed. But still, you know, I feel like we need to see more from Adesanya, you know, especially on the ground and how he handles himself there. I think we haven't seen enough on the ground yet to really know that he is a complete fighter. And everybody knows that he has a great background in stand-up fighting, but I believe that it takes quite some years to get really, really good on the ground. So, yeah, I can't wait to test him in that area if we would fight.
Yes, I mean, that's what I was thinking. Like, is that do you feel as though, like, people like you, Yoel Romero, the different wrestlers in the division will be able to test him a different kind of test than Whittaker did? Because Whittaker seemed to want to strike with him, right? And, of course,
yeah, exactly.
Stylebender's wheelhouse.
Yeah, especially me, because, you know, Yoel Romero is that guy that everybody knows that he has Olympic level wrestling, but he never uses it anyway. So, you know, you think that in this fight he's going to take somebody down, but he doesn't, you know. Yes. And I think that's, you know, he likes to conserve his energy in his fights. And so I really believe that if he would have fought Adesanya, he probably would have done it a stand up fight anyway. So,
yes,
I think, yeah, I'm probably the main guy that would like to take him down and see what he has there.
Yeah, that's actually funny. It actually frustrates me when I'm watching Yoel Romero sometimes because
me too,
he's so fantastic. I'm like, why isn't he taking him down? Jack, you've answered all my queries today. Thank you so much. A gentleman as always. But I have one more question for you.
Of course, my man.
I just wanted to know, you know, you'd know more than me. You're over there in the Nordic region, and the talk is that Alexander Gustafsson could be returning. I know he has said it a few times. Do you feel as though Alexander Gustafsson has one final run left in him?
I believe so, because it must have been tough for him to leave the sport with, you know, those close fights with Jon Jones. I feel like that's one of his life's mission, you know. That I'm surprised if he doesn't return, actually. And Alexander has been a little bit up and down over the years, you know, with the most motivation. But I really feel like now, when he took a step back and he maybe he can relax a little bit more and look over the situation and regain his composition, I believe he will come back, and I would believe that he will make another run for that title.
How cool would that be in 2020? You, Alex, all of these great Scandinavian fighters like Dalby, if they did it again with you and Alex there at the top of the card, that would be unbelievable, wouldn't it?
Oh, I would love that. That would be amazing.
Jack, thank you so much, my friend. Always a pleasure to speak to you. And I hope they make that fight happen for UFC London. It would be fantastic.
Thank you very much. Let's go for it.
Right,
okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Always a pleasure to speak to the great Jack Hermansson. Looking forward to seeing what they do with that UFC
Definitely,
London
yeah.
card. But it looks like they're going to put on something decent. Like, I mean, even the talk of Edwards and Woodley and the talk of Hermansson and Till, I feel like they're going to have to get one of them now.
Yeah, I think they do. And, you know, when you're talking about that and people are so vocal about it, the traction's there online with people wanting to see it, they're going to have to do one of those two fights. And I think it does set it well. And I think it will be a smart one to as I believe, to go after the Tyron Woodley and Till fight, because
Tyron Woodley and Edwards,
because Leon does deserve that platform. And I think if he is to push on and win that fight and get a title shot, it's a no-brainer to really sort of warm him to his home people.
Yeah, absolutely. And let the Americans see that kind of reaction. Big fight card at the weekend, as we said at the top of the show.
Massive
implications there for the European fighters, especially Leon, of course, and Peter Yan, who got a brilliant win over Uriah Faber, as we predicted quite vocally ahead of the fight.
Yeah.
But, you know, first of all, we didn't come away with a new title. We thought Jermaine Durandamy was in with a chance, albeit a slim one against the greatest female fighter of all time. But what do you think of that fight now?
Yeah, no, it was...
She was brilliant, wasn't she, Amanda?
She was brilliant, yeah. And, you know, arguably it could have been stopped in the second round or the first. Jermaine was really hanging on for the first couple of rounds. I think that was the way it was always sort of going to play out. If she was going to win, it was in the later rounds. But
Trent with that armbar briefly, I think it was in the third round, was it?
Yeah, it was unbelievable, actually, how Amanda bloody stayed in there, you know, because it was close. But I think it just shows you, and I think it was a good one for Amanda. you know, ever improving. She might have gone to five rounds because her last few fights have been so short, man. It's going to stand her. And it just shows you how impressive she is. She's not even fighting at her best. She's not on her A game, and she's still able to put in a performance like that and win. And we saw a little bit more of everything than we've seen in the last number of fights, from how good Amanda Nunes is in terms of her wrestling, in terms of her BJJ, and obviously her striking. So Jermaine de Randami, you know, very, very valiant effort, but just not good enough to beat the GOAT.
Yeah, agree. Volkanovski was unbelievable. Thought he was brilliant. Thought he fought really, really well. And you know what? The corner work there with Eugene and Joe and all those guys, unbelievable. Yeah. The way they work, like one talks, and everyone gets something in and they all give different information. And Volkanovski has a great ability to process that. You can see him, right? I'm going to listen to this guy, I'm going to listen to this guy, I'm going to listen to this guy. And then you kind of see him just before he goes out, he's trying to register. What do they want me to do? I thought his leg kicks were unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
I think he really fucked with Max's game plan. You know, when he absolutely smacked his legs to pieces, and you know he can't switch stances, which we know Max is so brilliant at.
I think Max got really frustrated after the second round. The leg kicks kept landing, he kept yapping in his ear, kept talking like, come at me. And Max was, no matter what you say, Max was clearly getting frustrated. He had to change up his stance as well, I noticed, in the fight.
He dismantled him. I felt Volkanovski dismantled him.
It was the perfect execution. That's what I think I took from that fight. A guy who can go in, he did everything we thought, and we even said it last week, if there was a guy that was going to beat him, it was Volkanovski. Yeah, yeah. If he implemented the game plan in your face, quick in and out,
was a great fight.
Was fantastic. Really high level technical shit
I'd
to watch.
I'd love to watch that fight again.
I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
There was a lot of sort of controversy. I was totally bemused by it online. A lot of people were saying,
I'm so sick of the outrage on Twitter, man. I literally went on to Twitter and Sunday morning, I just turned it off. I was like, alright, we're going to fire Joe Rogan now. Come on.
It was
there's such a bunch of fucking whiners. I can't deal with it. Like, I mean, every weekend, all the lead up to this fight, people crying about Jose Aldo. He fought brilliantly. It's like, lads, why is always so upset? I feel like every time after one of these events, a huge event, there's more people pissing and moaning than going, what a great night of fucking fights we had there. Like every weekend, like, Jesus Christ,
people
man.
Were saying, you
it
know,
it upsets me. Like, I'm like, fuck, like, all these people who are probably watching MMA about 2 or 3 years talking about Joe Rogan doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah,
like, have you ever done a show? Yeah. You you're in the moment speaking, it's very difficult. You know, you don't know what the fuck that's like. So, you know, give him a bit of a break here. How many events does he have to do to get some respect? Like, it's crazy,
big time. But I do, you know, I was a bit bemused by some of the people saying that they thought, you know, the fight was, you know, potentially Max's fight. I clearly had it scored. I couldn't really understand that. I couldn't fathom that.
I did think that the fight was close. Like, I felt like the rounds were close. I thought Volkanovski was just about winning them. But I can understand that some people saw, like, some of the volume Max was landing towards the end of the round. And even in the Usman and Covington fight, I was like, this is fucking close. Like, every round I was like, holy shit, that's close.
I thought that was, you know, closer. In terms of watching it, but I think there was a discrepancy where you're going, listen, Jose Aldo, or not Jose Aldo, my name is Jesus Christ, Max Holloway was chasing the fight going into the, you know, the championship
round. I feel like some people, they don't score leg kicks. Like, they
how did you not? It was like the most important part of that fight.
I know, but unless they see him getting punched in the face, I don't care, you know, and that's
idiotic. I agree, and that was probably their perception, but it was a masterful, I would say a masterful performance and execution from Volkanovski. And listen, fair play to the kid.
Yeah, absolutely. Usman Covington was a brilliant fight. Absolutely brilliant.
Amazing.
Colby fighting on with that jaw. Unbelievable. When did he say it to him? At the beginning of the third round?
Between second and third, he said it to the boys in the corner.
I can't believe he lasted the fifth round
Did you see the punch that got him as well? It was a beautiful punch. Very nasty. But listen.
But Colby was landing his left a lot. Like, I feel like his left hand looked brilliant.
The uppercut as well was finding a home numerous amount of
body shots. Kamaru was hitting him with fucking the straight teep to the body. And he's also hitting a beautiful right hand. He's kept on catching him beautifully with a straight right hand to the body. And really, really nice.
Listen, it was so close. It was, you know, razor close, I think. And, you know, I had a 3-1 up to Calvi going into the last, and I think one of the judges had it scored that way as well. And there was sort of a lot of mixed reactions on Twitter to how the fight was actually being scored going into the last round. But listen, at the end of the day, it doesn't mean anything. The champion went in there and probably, to a certain extent, did look as though he was chasing the fight. Not chasing it, he was going after the finish, as he got in the final round and did get that finish. So that may say something to you on how he was perceiving the fight as it was going along. But, you know, fantastic performance, and you can't take a lot away from Colby Covington either, because, you know, at the end of the day, he got in there, put it up against Kamaru Usman, and, you know, went really, really close. And I think, you know, sensible stuff from him leaving the octagon after as well. I thought it was clever.
I think he did the right thing by coming out and slating Mark Goddard, but he's completely wrong. Like, I mean, it adds to his persona. He's complaining, he's saying this isn't just, I was still in the fight. That's what he has to say. But Goddard did a great job in that fucking fight. I was actually watching the fight and it was such an amazing fight, but I kept noticing Goddard. I was like, that he's doing a great job keeping control of these. There's a lot of emotion there, and I think he did a great job to keep hold of it. And people complaining about the low blow, yeah, I understand that it wasn't a massive dick shot that had Usman rolling around, but if you have any contact below the waist there, that's a low blow. Like, it doesn't matter if you're,
you know, I actually haven't seen it back twice. I've you know, seen the bit of the replay we got during the broadcast.
Catch him in the meeting too veg, like, you know what I mean?
For me, we're looking at it, it looked at the time that it just caught him on the belt line, and it looked
along the length of his foot, really, wasn't it? Like, it was like shin to foot, nearly that connected. Yeah. So
I can understand why Colby's having a. He actually didn't really bring that one up, actually, to be honest with you. But, you know, what did you think of the finish? There was a bit of controversy again about the finish, maybe that he didn't give Colby enough time.
I think the only person who thinks it's controversy is Colby Covington, though.
Well, there was a lot online that, you know, maybe thought it could stop to touch too early. That's probably the only
thing. I think every stoppage in MMA now, like, yeah. I mean, they're always going to cry about it.
Yeah. Rematch?
Yeah. Definitely. I think it's brilliant. I think it will sell even more now. I think Colby has to come out and give out about Goddard.
But I think, you know, him not talking as well was genius, because he doesn't have to answer the questions. He could, like, go away and hide for a while and everyone's going to get more angry, keep talking about him. Why didn't Colby say anything?
I don't know if it's genius. I think he has a broken jaw, so you can't really speak.
Well, that is true as well. but, you know.
Right, let's move it on from this one.
Okay.
Aldo, everyone thinks Aldo won that fight. What do you think?
I did.
I thought he was doing as well.
I did. I have to say, you know, out of those three fights that we look at the top of the card, that was probably the most conclusive one to me. That and the Volkanovski fight, that Jose Aldo won that fight 2-1, and I think a pretty clear 2-1. I think, you know, even Moraes was chasing the fight. In rounds 2 and 3, Moraes was chasing the fight, and it looked that way.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm disappointed with Jose is, man, leg kicks.
Yeah, he seemed to be landing early, right? And I was like, oh, shit, he's going to chop his leg up. And then
just abandon it. It was odd. Maybe there was an injury or something there, I'm not sure. But,
maybe
we're going
to wait for all the armchair nutritionists to tell us why he didn't go for leg kicks now. Yeah. Because remember,
did you ring any of them?
They were all telling us, oh, he's going to die making weight, blah, blah, blah.
I know, listen, I was concerned, obviously, I think with the pictures we saw. But, you know, I don't like jumping on board and, you know, slating and shitting on fighters. It's their career, it's their livelihood. And I think people are very, very easy to do that without actually thinking of what's gone on. You know, from them to get to that point where they're cutting weight just before the fight.
Yeah, like, I mean, and people, like, this is, oh, he looks terrible, blah, blah, blah. We're happy enough to watch Darren Till look like a skeleton trying to make way for, like, the Wonderboy fight. I can't deal with it that much, to be honest. Peter Yan was unbelievable, as we predicted. Absolutely brilliant. And look at all the fucking seeds he planted.
Yeah.
There's Cody, Cody Nochin Garbrand, as he calls him backstage. There's Cejudo calling for Aldo. He's making this sound like the reason why he's calling for Aldo is he's afraid of me. Brilliant. I think it was a home run for him this weekend.
Absolute. Knocked it out of the park, and Uriah Faber as well. nearly, because he nearly took
fair
his head
play
off.
To fucking Uriah Faber.
Listen, massive props to Uriah Faber, one of the gamiest guys you'll ever meet. Lovely guy as well, and you know, great sort of representative.
When he says gamey, he doesn't mean that like he's trying to make out with us or anything.
No,
every time he says,
but a lovely guy, and you know, a lot of time for Uriah. And listen, Jan is just a stone cold killer, and you know what's to remind me of? It reminded me of, like, he was just having a laugh in there and just was, you know, he's cool as he likes. He's such a gangster.
His English has picked up a lot. Do you see what he was saying to Cody?
It was brilliant.
You are just this.
Yeah. And then he goes, you know, Triple C, the clown. Where are you, clown? And all this. Yeah. It was brilliant. And I think, you said, you know, the seeds are planted there, and there's so many fights you can make for him now. And he is right in that level now of getting a world title shot. And I think it's only really a matter of time. But the UFC, knowing the UFC, I think they're going to fucking make him wait till he improves his English a little bit.
They're idiots. But just to summarise, Akhmedov gets the decision win over Ian Heinisch. Daniel Timor lost to Chase Hooper, looked really, really good, and I hope he enjoyed his M&M's post-fight. And Oscar Bochota knocked out by Puna in his debut. Puna looked fucking good.
Yeah, man, Puna
was wrong.
You know, I saw Puna, and obviously, you know, Contender Series, we watched him, and I was very impressed with him. I think he does have that one strike, you know, sort of knockout power, and he's that star quality about him as well.
Joe is no joke as well.
Yeah, that's what I mean, and it just proves to you that, you know, the UFC were right to take him on board. A very impressive performance, but top to bottom, a really exciting card, great fight card. And I think as well, just the one to mention is obviously Vieira obviously got knocked out against Irina Aldana. That was a phenomenal performance. The first time she'd been knocked out in her career, and that really sets her, pushes her right up now into title contention after that win, because Caitlin Vieira is, you know, no joke.
I'd absolutely care about that if they were from Europe, but yeah, they aren't.
I just thrown it in at the end of it, but it was amazing, Carter. I enjoyed it, top to bottom, excellent.
I thought Paradigm did a great job. I noticed this when I was watching it back, of placing Stylebender and Leon prominently on the broadcast, because Tim was sitting there with them, and that's a really good idea, because the camera kept going back to Stylebender when Volkanovski was fighting, and the camera kept on going back to Stylebender when Usman won as well, because he's a Nigerian, the Nigerian link, and then of course Leon's there saying it's me, all over the UFC website. Great job from Paradigm getting them lads cage side,
and you know, fair play to the UFC as well for the production team to go in and out of the booth and obviously be told to put their lens and the camera on them,
well,
and flash
it.
They did do it well, because it was very, very noticeable that they were in attendance during the fight, and I think even the commentary said at points as well, Joe goes, look at Israel Adesanya, and he's down on the side screaming and actually shouting instructions to Alexander Volkanovski, his teammate. So it was cool. Yeah, it was well done.
Yes, we should note that Aries had their first event in Dakar, Senegal at the weekend. A lot of big fights there. Rug was savage. Taylor Lapalus, Damian Lapalus, and I believe did Rizlan Zawak fight? Ooh, I can't see Rizlan here. I thought she was meant to be fighting, but the event was forced to end due to humidity, so she lost that fight, unfortunately. Well, she didn't get to fight it, but we did get a new gift from the MMA gods, an undefeated Senegalese wrestling champion who made shy to Sofiane Bokashu, who was no joke.
My
first
God.
I think it's Bokashu's first fight since he broke his leg against Aspinall in Cage Warriors.
Yeah.
So I don't think, like, I mean, Jesus Christ, Rug destroyed him, didn't he?
Were his arms tree trunks? I was very confused whether it was his arm.
I've never
his
seen multiple takedowns landed off a Kimura.
It's unbelievable.
It was, well, I suppose we have seen it, but I mean,
it is unbelievable, the strength of that young man.
You loved that leg kick, didn't you? Sent him into fucking
orbit. He nearly actually went into orbit. It was unbelievable. Lads, if you haven't watched that, go back and have a fucking look at that guy. That guy is, as you mentioned, we talked about it off air there. That is a guy who's, you know, there's money written all over that kid. If the UFC do a bit of work on that guy, stand up, and you're an absolute savage killer. Unbelievable.
It's a big thing for, this could be a big thing for European MMA having Aries here. As far as I knew, Aries were trying to be the first promotion to host an event in France. I don't know what's going on there, because the terrain is all over the gap. I think their second event is going to take place in Brussels. I think they announced it during this card. It might be March. Oh yeah, don't have that information right now. But it's big. It feels big, and as far as I know, they're paying well as well. So I mean, it's a good addition to have another promotion at least vested interest in Europe, right?
Yeah, and I think
and get Rug over here ASAP.
Definitely do it, you know. But obviously disappointing that the card was cut short due to.
But they're going into the UFC are talking about doing events in Africa. Yeah. It's hard logistically to do this. You're going to encounter problems like this when you're going to a new area. So I think you have to kind of say fair fucking play for them, at least trying to put some money into the area.
No. I've no problem with that. At least they did try, and the conditions there. You know, obviously it wouldn't be called off. If it wasn't safe for the fighters. So yeah, listen, it is great. Obviously they could try and cut out those things in the future, which I'm sure they will. But having them on potentially Canal Plus is a massive thing for the sport in France. And, you know, there's a lot of money going into them. Fighters are getting paid more. And they could be the benchmark for French mixed martial arts. It's going to open doors for a lot
more
fighters.
French martial arts are going to explode next year.
That's mental.
Like, when you think about
people don't understand the population of France and how big France is, and how many people actually actively participate in martial arts in France.
Morgan Sherry is already a huge name. Cyril Gane, Francis Ngannou, the Lapalus brothers now with Aries. I think it could be a huge, huge year if they fucking get the legalization passed. That is,
apparently it is. It's apparently
they said that before.
I've heard that the delay is it's more getting someone actually for the head of the role of the French Mixed Martial Arts
That's
Association.
Not what I heard.
Is that right? That's what I heard.
I heard it's more political bullshit, but Look, we're going to get on with the second interview of the day. It is Mr. Paul Rebin. I met him on a Stillorgan building site just before I came to meet Niall here. What a legend he is.
Flathead.
The first fighter I've really heard going after this European titles thing when I was doing the interview with him today. Bellator seemed to be completely against at the start, but the more it's being mentioned, I think they're starting to go,
I'm not mad for.
I know you aren't, but there's no storyline here.
Does the storyline not create, you know, with Peter Queeley's fight, if Peter wins, is that not what they're potentially looking at, or Brent Primus and Paul?
Well, I mean, Peter Queeley thinks he's going to fight for a title in the next event, so I mean, Let him fight Pitbull. Let him fight for the world title. This is, you know, a
but
European
I think Bellator
series.
Need to admit that it's regionalized. And I don't think they're going to do that.
It's called the European series.
Yeah, I know. I understand that. But in terms of the fights, like, because the fights they're putting on, as you said there, you know, they are very much European sort of base without any sort of trajectory of where you're going. If you,
well, right now we don't
fights.
Know what these guys are fighting for.
That's I would totally agree.
That's my position on it now. We've given you the benefit of the doubt and said, all right, show us, build these narratives, and they haven't done a good job of that, apart from maybe Fabian and Mike, which nearly got away from them once. So I think you got to bring in a title to make a focal point for these fights.
I think I'm very worried about Bellator next year. You know,
I'm actually
in relation to a lot of things. I think the fight card's great. Obviously, don't get me wrong. February seems to be coming together pretty well. Most of the fights, there's a lot more at stake. But in terms of, you know, maybe the TV deal or something, it doesn't look like that. Things been ironed down, and I think that's going to be a big, big problem if that doesn't get sorted.
When is that up?
It's up. The Sky deal was only a year deal, so you know, I asked Dave that the other day, and he didn't seem to. You know, he goes, oh, we're working. We've hoped to have some a few announcements in the next couple of weeks.
Well, when was that announced? Remember last year?
It was announced...
June, was there something?
Sky, yeah. So they wouldn't have very much time to run on it anyway, if that is the case. So I'm going to be very interested to see what does happen in 2020 because, you know, without that sort of platform, without that sort of coverage, without that sort of platform for the fighters to fight on, it's going to be very hard to sell those narratives that you're talking about. And I think that would be a very detrimental problem for Bellator MMA if that's the case.
Yeah, there you go. February 2019 was when that one-year deal began. That is a pivotal moment for them. And, you know, from what we heard, there isn't money changing hands here. It's more of a, like, you know, get the Bellator brand recognition out there, being with Sky Sports. I think they haven't done enough to compel European viewers to watch the fights when they are on Sky Sports. You know, I don't know if that's a Bellator situation or a Sky Sports one.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think, you know, Sky maybe, and I saw a post on their Twitter. Sky obviously has a huge social media roach, like 6-7 million, whatever it is, on their account. And I saw a post tweeted the other day of James and Cal, and that was from the press conference. That's the first. That's good. Obviously, it's brilliant. We need things like that. But I haven't seen an awful lot of that. And I think maybe Sky having them over there at the press conference even is a good thing. And maybe it sort of says we haven't given it this a full shot. Maybe we're going to kick on, and maybe there's a deal coming our way, because Dave did say announcements were forthcoming in the next number of weeks. But
Sky Sports need to get dedicated MMA people on that cover the sport as well.
Exactly, 100%.
Because they don't, you know, they have a few guys there that know MMA without a doubt, but they need some dedicated people.
Yeah, 100%. I totally agree.
I'm up to my eyes in contracts, so don't call me, lads. But anyway, let's move on and get this Paul Redman interview that I introduced about 5 minutes ago. We should probably do that now.
Shit,
right?
We probably should, yeah. Sorry, I went a bit of one of me rants there. But,
a famous McGrath moment. Yeah. But look, we'll talk to Red and we'll be back to you guys in about 15 minutes. Interesting stuff with the Red Man. And now, a very special interview here. I've joined Paul Redman on a building site to discuss a fight that's just been announced today. One of the biggest fights that has been announced for this Bellator Dublin card. It's Paul Redman v. Ryan Scope. Look how excited he is. He's jumping up and down here beside him. He's doing fucking cartwheels. I've got to be happy with that though, Paul. It's a big, big fight.
Yeah, pleased with it. There was a couple of names tossed around at the start. I didn't think they would have pushed me in the direction I wanted to. So we went a bit of back and forth with Bellator. They came back with this. So, yeah, Ryan's a tough lad. Highly ranked. So, yeah, great fight.
When you two guys were signed, I think most people would have saw you used as like two of the most prominent fighters signed to the organisation. I mean, a former Bama lightweight champion and Scope, you, of course, have fought in every organisation, every prominent organisation in the world, really, at this stage. Where do you rate him? Like, when you think about that lightweight bunch there with the European series, where do you rate Ryan?
Yeah, well, I think he's right up there. You know, I think he's been unlucky in his last couple of fights. You know, Pitbull's a tough fight for anybody. I actually didn't see the fight. I've seen a couple of clips. Some people were saying Scout probably should have took the nod. And then we all seen what happened in the Creeley fight. You know, he dropped Creeley with the head kick, I think it was, and then sort of just couldn't put it on him. And now Peter toughed it out and got a sweep from guard, I think it was. And from that sweep then, it was all Peter, you know. So, he's just been unfortunate. And I know, like, over the years, I know people have been dodging him left, right and centre. He had to move up the welterweight to take a fight off Liu Long. I choked out Liu Long in Cage Warriors. So I think this one's going to be a really clash of styles. You know, Ryan's really tidy on the feet. I'm really tidy on the ground. So I think wrestling wins this match.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the way most people would see it, you know, considering your submission expertise and his knockout power. But we saw what happened with Queeley after that fight, right? Now he's fighting this big fight against Brent Primus. You, as one of the most prominent Irish fighters, if you do the business against Scope on February 22nd, do you feel like that opens you up into a them kind of US fights like Brandon Gertz, who you were previously matched with?
Yeah, I think a win over Scope does huge sort of for your reputation and stuff like that. But in saying that, like I did an interview with the Mirror there the other day, and I don't know. I think I'm being overlooked for this fight. I think I'm being played down, or I seem to get it for all my fights. I don't think I come across. Maybe it's the stuff I put on Instagram or shit like that. I don't come across like I'm a hard case or anything like that. I just chat shit on my Instagram all day long, so people think it's just Red, he's just going to go in. I don't know what way people think it, but the guy said, you know, you're taking a step up fighting Ryan Scope. I said, hang on a second. Look, I'm a black belt in jiu-jitsu. I have 24 pro fights. I fought in the UFC, I fought in Bellator, I fought in KSW, I fought in Bama, I fought for the Bama lightweight title. Where are you getting that from? Like, I'm just up there with the rest of them. Fuck that, you know what I mean? So, I'm just going to go out and deal with business here in February, you know, and that's that.
Don't mind them, Reds, all right? It only comes from me, right? I set the agenda here. Unless I say it, doesn't mean shit. But, I mean, when I think about the fact that you're saying that, I always feel like with Siri, with all you Rhino lads, you just need to create this chip on your shoulder going into things to motivate yourself. So you're in the gym going, oh, yeah, they think I'm going to fucking lose, dude. It cheese you up before it. But, you know, do you... When you're saying you feel overlooked, the fights only haven't been announced. I've seen people jumping up and down about it. Are you already in the comments there looking, you cheeky bastards?
Like, it's one of those things, like, it's not just for this fight. In a lot of fights, people just say, you know, Brad is going to get smashed or whatever. And then you go out and get a win. And it's like, oh, you got a lucky win. I say, fuck off. You know, I don't know. Even like when I was on Polaris, it's like, oh, it's another MMA guy coming over to do a bit of jiu-jitsu or something like that. Then it turned out to get match of the night, like on the prelim card. So, and it was a cracker. I watched it back a couple of times, and it was a good match. You know, high pace, a lot of scrambles, a lot of submission attempts. So, like, I'm just up there with like really high lads. So it's a pain in the ass when people say that. But I overlook at myself. You know, it's time to fuck off.
But surely if you beat Scope, then that's that, like people, do you feel like it's important in that way? And like, it's recency bias as well, because you've been injured, because you haven't been on the last one. I feel like that's important. I feel like, do you feel like, you know, a Scope is a name that if you beat him, people go, oh, holy shit, okay, Redzer is one of the elite fighters we have in this country.
Yeah, I think Scope was, if you're going by the rankings in sort of the UK and Ireland, I think Scope was right there in top 5 or 6, and I think I'm 10, and that's due to lack, due to inactivity, like, but it's now sort of... it's not for want or lack of going for fights. It's just the injuries that have set me back the last 2 years. I had one fight last year in 2018. I got my nose smashed over there. So I had to get surgery on that. Wait a couple of months. Then we did Charlie Leary in February. Won that. Got injured getting ready for gear. So it's just been a pain in the arse the last 2 years. Like, 2 fights in 2 years. It's not great. It's not ideal. Not from what I'm used to. 3, 4. 1 year I did 7. You know what I mean? So, I just... 2020... Train smarter. And not that we ever train bad or regular or anything like that. I think there's a few miles on the body clock now, so just got to train a little bit smarter, and that's it.
A lot of media members, you know, when this Bellator European Series came first, we were like, you know, Paul Redmond's the best fighter in Ireland at the moment. I know you don't like those kind of accolades being heaped on you.
I just play it down a little bit. I just, you know, it is nice to hear those things. I'm grateful that people think that already, but I think you're only as good as your last fight or two. I like that I'm one of my last fight, one of my last two. Now I'm 5-2 post UFC. But I think, I was just exited from the UFC in 2015, so that's 4 years ago, you know what I mean? So I think you're only as good as your last fight or two, and I'm 1-1, so you just got to pick things up now in 2020.
Yeah, but what I'm saying to you is, like, you know, when you get injured like that and these events come and go, is it hard for you, like, sitting at home watching these events? I know, even though, like, you're obviously cornering the Rhino guys around the card and stuff, is it hard for you to see those events come and go, thinking, like, shit, I should be a main event on this card, I should be co-main event or whatever?
Yeah, it's a bit of a pain in the arse. Like, the last one, I remember, we did Keith and Ian's corner on Bellator. Then that's it, we kicked back then and watched the rest of the fights. And I think on my slot, when I should have been walking out, the crowd was nuts, and I was just like, for fuck's sake, you know what I mean? It's a bit of a pain in the ass that way, but it's again, it's true no fault of anyone else but my own, you know.
I have to ask you about the job, because we're here on the building site. What would be the point in doing this here if I didn't ask you? Again, it reminds me of Siri. Siri used to be, when we used to interview him when he was still fighting, he'd be like, you know, these lads thinking they can fucking live off this. It's mental. You know, you need to have a job. You need to have something you can do after fighting, something to come back to. You've been, you know, working trades your whole life, really, ever since I know you. Do you think it's important to have something like that as well? Like, do you feel as though, you know, the professionalism in sport, even though Bellator has come and brought a lot of money in, it still needs to reach a higher level before people will be able to retire from MMA and not have to get a new career kind of thing?
For me, I had my trade before I went before I even sort of threw a punch in the gym, so I had that behind me anyways. This year I went back and did not a degree. I did like a college course, so something else to fall back on them after this. I'm a personal trainer then, but as well, like, so I know how to do all that. So a few things there for me, you know. Obviously this thing never works out, but basically I'm just doing this and the fighting and everything else. House mortgage, stuff like that, you know, prices for houses in Dublin aren't cheap, rent isn't cheap, you know what I mean? So I'm looking beyond that year or two, you know what I mean? You have to have a little bit of longevity or have a 5-year plan. So I sat down with Andy there the other day, and we sort of hashed out a little 2 or 3 year plan, you know, and see where we're at the end of that, and then you make a call from there, you know what I mean?
And is it hard to balance work and fighting? Like, do you feel like you need to shut one out to do the other, or what?
I think you have to minimise your time on site, which is KCMG are great. They let me go down to 3 days a week for fight camp and stuff like that. So if you move a couple of your hard training days, maybe to the weekend where you're off, and then put the rest of your time then where you can, just slot it in. It's just about time management, really. But if you can do it and do it right, I don't think it should be an issue.
Especially like when you're getting rounds in on site, like I've seen you do, you know. I've seen a few lads getting taken down, waterboarded. Very interesting. Is this the way to get your reps in while you're in work? You know, just attack a few poor first years?
I don't go near the first years, right? I leave them alone. I give them a bit of stick or whatever.
Seven lads are nervously looking over the fence here at Reds.
for whatever reason, I had me back turned to one of them the other day, and one of them fucking takes me down. I said, what the fuck are you on? Now I have to kill you, like. So I had to chase him up and down the side, held him down, and put a wrist lock on until he was screaming. So, like, and I didn't start, he started it. So then another one, then I was standing at the top of the ladder, and then he decides to fucking drown me. I said, now I have to get you back 10 times worse. So I held him down and threw 2 bottles of 2 litres of water over, 2 4 litres of water over. So, and he had to stand around sitting in the freezing cold to fuck him.
Is that it is? I'd say you do have to save face. Like, I just can't let you do this to me. Is that?
That's just, no, I said, now I have to kill you. Now I have to get you. And he ran. He made me run the cunt. So I got like half a K in around the site. You know what I mean? Got the heart rate up. Got the steps in. So it's good. It's all good.
Do you feel as though this is one of the biggest fights on the card? I mean, I certainly do. I feel like this and Queeley v. Primus are the most interesting international fights, really. You know, people be compelled to see these. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think they're two cracking fights. I think that's just the way we fight. I think Ryan's is an attacking, go-forward guy. He's got some really tasty strikes, and he's really tidy on standing up, you know. And then I'm on the other spectrum, so the spectrum, I'm really tidy on the ground, stuff like that, and I do some weird, funky shit on the ground. So I think it's a what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
A purist fight, you know what I mean? I think it's an MMA fan's fight rather than just the usual casual fan. I think we're looking at this, you'll see some tidy stuff in this fight.
One thing I get upset with Bellator about is like there's no there's no kind of continuance from one show to the other. And I was thinking when I was looking at this fight, it was like, wouldn't it be cool if they announced before it, like, whoever wins the Redmond Scope fight will get the winner of Queeley v. Primus or something like that. Would you like a stipulation like that, or is it awkward with Queeley being from Ireland as well?
That shit doesn't bother me. Like, but I would like to see a European, let's do a European belt.
Yeah,
I'd love, but why not? And people are saying, like, oh no, then they're watering down belts and watering down division. Why the fuck are you watering down division? You have to make a whole series for the European side of things. Why not make a fucking belt for it? Whoever holds the European belt, then for Pitbull. And if, because like Pitbull has 2 belts, featherweight and the lightweight, you can only defend them so many times a year. He has to defend the lightweight. So say he does 1 lightweight and 2 featherweight, or 2 lightweight, and he's holding up 1 division for a year. He'll end up relinquishing one of them belts. But in the meantime, while he still has both of them, put something else up for grabs. You know what I mean? Why not? I'm gonna say at the end of the or in the press conference or at the end of the fight or whatever like that. Let's do a European belt. You know.
I agree with you, and it also I feel like when you look at Cage Warriors, there's a definite kingpin there, like of each division, the champions there. So you're like, that guy is that guy, and I feel like that's what is missing. Like, and let's be honest, UV Scope would be good enough caliber of fight to have for that lightweight title, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Like, I mean, are we going to try and force the issue before February 22nd? I mean, can we get that made in the jewelers or whatever they have to do?
I don't know. Yeah, start pumping it out on Twitter or your post or whatever like that. Boy, I think it'd be a cool idea, you know?
Will Queely be annoyed because he just bet Scope? He's like, here, hang on a second.
Well, I don't know. Look, I mean, like, he's got a cracking fight in front of him with Brent Primus. Primus is huge for the weight. I think he cuts down from 210. I don't know how that guy makes weight, you know, but he does make it. I think he's a black belt, is he? I know he got a nice Gogo Plata on Tim Wilde, so that's I think that's going to be a cracking fight too.
Well, Red, we better let you get back to work. There's plenty of first years that need some hidings. I can see them here, cheeky bastards. So, happy Christmas. Oh, yeah, can you not have points now? Is it...
That's me doing with the team around our Christmas party on Saturday night. I didn't even go too mad because everyone was up there in the place. I woke up DJ up in the Cock and Bull, and I had to get all the young lads in, 18 and 19, and they're keeping an eye over everyone. So I think I only had about 3 or 4 drinks the other night, you know.
Can you tell me about the award you won? Because I know it's the award is memorial to one of Andy's very close friends and a guy he trained with for a long time, right?
Yeah, it's a guy called Jerry Grady. He used to be a black belt judo player, and he was a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. Tough as they come. I think he medaled at the Europeans a couple of times, and he was a really close friend to Andy's and a friend to everyone in the gym. I knew him for a couple of years before he passed away. But he was a really, really close friend to Andy. I think he was a power lifter that had a lot of accolades and stuff in one of the gyms in town, the Hercules, I think. And he was really close to Andy and stuff like that, and probably a bit of a mentor to Andy. So they made an award there for this year, and I don't know why I got it. I do help some of the lads out in the gym, you know, with weight cuts, or even some of the amateurs might have a bit of nerves or this standard, and give them a little pep talk or whatever. I don't know, but yeah, I think I just got it by just being a team player, basically. You know, I try to help out as much as I can in the gym, or go on corner fights, or, you know, I think it was just sort of one of them things that Andy just said, just threw me a little thing. So, yeah, it's up on the wall anyway, so I'm going to look over that for the next few years, you know.
That's brilliant, Red. And hopefully we can add a few more things to that trophy cabinet in 2020.
It's European belt.
Nice one, man.
Beautiful time with Paul Redmond, as usual.
The Red Dog
battering those first year apprentices every day out there. I asked him about it. We had a long segment of that interview dedicated to his torture rituals that he's putting these first years
disgraceful,
through.
Disgraceful, like putting kimuras on them and
but
all
it's
sorts.
It's funny, actually, because when he says it, when he talked about it, he's like, you know, these fuckers just keep on kicking me and like starting fights. And he goes, I can't, like, I have to do something to them. Like, I can't let them away with that.
Paul's a bit of an old bully now. Bit
he's
of a geezer.
Bully. Getting that Andy
disgrace.
Ryan bully mentality
going. Oh, yeah, Jesus.
Only messing Andy, I'm very sorry.
Jesus, yeah. Andy be on to you straight away. The dagger stares that I call them.
Yeah, terrifying Jesus, man. The last fight, UFC fight of the year, is Fight Night Busan in South Korea. Huge card. Obviously, Chan Sung Jun taking on Frankie Edgar in the main event at 145. A huge European co-main event there with Volkan Ozdemir and Alexander Rakic. Two veterans of the Eurobash podcast as well, of course.
It is. That's a huge, huge fight. I think maybe more so for Rakic in terms of...
Oh, well, if Rakic wins, it's off to the races, my friend.
That's what I mean. Yeah, you're off to the races. You know, you're putting away a title challenger, a former title challenger, so to say, in Volkan Ozdemir. I was about to say Alexander Volkanovski there. But that's the way it goes. You know, you go in there, Rakic sparks him, he's right in the doorstep.
Toughest test to date so far for Rakic, without a doubt, in the UFC.
Easily. Definitely, and a very, very tough test in Ozdemir, but we know what Rakic can do. We've seen what he can do, and this is a huge, huge title fight for his career trajectory in 2020, because we know there's not many or a huge amount of solidified, nailed down number one contenders. You know, Corey Anderson's probably next after Reyes, Blakovic, and Rakic could very well self add his name to that list.
A lot of Europeans moving up in those light heavyweight ranks. But Cyril Gane also on this card, looking to make it 3-0 with the UFC in 2019. And remember, he just made his debut in August of this year. So
beast.
Really impressive. You know, if the UFC, people are talking about the UFC going to France in November of next year, he's going to be in a really prominent place. If he can keep this kind of form and activity up, it's fucking ridiculous, really.
Massively. Could even be headlining. I wouldn't be surprised. Depending on what they want to put on, what they want to do, you know, maybe him and Francis Ngannou, if Francis can get over his next fight, that would be a no-brainer for a French market. So, yeah, exciting times, man. Very exciting times going into next year.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that's all of Nurmagomedov is taking on Barsolis, Ronnie Barsolis, I believe his name is. So he's looking to make it 3-0 in the UFC there. So an interesting one to keep your eyes on. I think that's all of the Europeans.
I think you just keep your eyes, the start time of that, it's an odd one as well. I think 10 a.m. It's 10 a.m. No, it's the main card, I think, is 10. I think it's even earlier for the prelims. So do go check that in UFC Fight Pass.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So it's an early one, Petey.
I'm meant to be out with Elaine on Friday night, so that is not music to my ears, I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
much.
I'm not getting up early to watch it either. I'll be watching
it. Oh, no, I'm covering it. Like, I'm on duty.
Have fun with that, mate. Jesus Christ. Nah. Jesus, no thanks. It's an early one.
It's very early, yeah.
Yeah, so. Lucky you, Petey. Lucky you.
I do love my job.
Will you have a little chat about the main event for a minute? Looking forward to it?
Yeah, I love Korean Zombie. He's one of my favourite fighters ever.
Frankie.
Yeah, it's fair. Look, Frankie's a fucking beast, stepping up on short notice, take that fight against Chan Sung Jung in Korea.
The power, I think, could be the difference here.
I just think he's a genius, Chan Sung Jung. I think he's brilliant. I think he's brilliant wherever it goes, and I think he fights. Like, look at the finish to his fight with
Yair.
Like, he fights to the last second. Like, he doesn't give a fuck. Caution to the wind all the time. Great fighter. So
I love Frankie as well. I love both these guys, so I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a really
good
fight.
I think momentum's in Chan. Jung is kind of more, he's in a better kind of time in his career, say.
Definitely.
Like Frankie's debating whether to go to 135.
Frankie's three divisions there, he's been talking about,
to make up his fucking mind there.
Yeah, I totally agree.
But really, really good. There's two Bellator cards the weekend as well. The first of which happens on Friday in Honolulu. It's Josh Barnett v. Ronnie Marks in the main event. Eric Perez v. Tommy Misich, who was, of course, meant to fight Brian Moore there a while ago in the co-main.
I think this is card of the year, PT.
there was one European fighter on the Friday card. That's Pierre Daguzan. We have never heard of him, but we wish him the best of luck as he pursues greatness within Bellator ranks. And then on Saturday, again in Honolulu, Hawaii, we actually can't believe how little we've heard about this. Ali Malay is obviously a fantastic champion, but is taking on Kate Jackson from the UK. I didn't hear about this. That's crazy.
I'm speechless, man. I don't know what to say.
We were just talking about moments ago about how we need to be forcing people's attention towards Sky Sports.
That proves our point.
Yeah, there's a UK, a fantastic UK fighter fighting for a world title this weekend.
We don't know about it.
And us crackheads for MMA, we're like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole point. That's
I feel bad about it.
We just talked about. It's mental. And I think, you know, hopefully they'll get the finger out of the ass next year, because it does need to happen. And that's mental. That's pretty insane.
That's a huge fight. Like, that's the biggest fight anyone from the European series has fought yet. Yeah. That's a world title fight. Yeah.
Well, look, that's my. I'm speechless to the way things are run, and it's
bad form of Kate Jackson. Like, I mean, not on her, not her fault, but Bellator need to do better by her. Make sure all of us guys are talking about this.
That's
this
the
week.
Whole point. That's what we've talked about. That's what we've talked about for honestly a number of months now, and I think it's pretty crazy that there seems to be no build or something happens just out of the blue like that without us even being sort of aware of it. So, well, there you go.
AJ McKee taking on Derek Campos at the co-main event at 145. Is this the
tournament? Yeah, AJ's in it. AJ won his last fight, so yeah, that is the tournament.
But I thought did Pedro not beat Campos? I'm trying to figure out. Oh, sorry, he beat Daniel Strauss to progress. So yeah, I think I got a favor AJ McKee there. Yeah, to be quite honest,
you know, one of the best 45ers in the world, absolutely cracking fighter. We saw the fight, obviously. Last time out, who did he fight last time out? It was former
Georgie Karakian,
and obviously we saw Pat Kern, that phenomenal performance against Kern. We saw a little bit of everything from him there, and listen, this guy is the favourite to win the title and to win the Grand Prix, should I say, and expect to do a job on Campos, definitely.
Very, very interesting. You wouldn't favour Pitbull over AJ McKee, the champion?
No, I think McKee's got it all, man. I've been so impressed with him. I really have.
No, a lot of people that would agree with you.
I think he'd go very, 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 very well in the UFC as well. So, no. I think it's Bellator's deepest division, and I think he is the cream of the crop.
Ooh. Yeah, so, I mean, big, big fight for Kate Jackson there this weekend that we don't really know much about. I mean, a lot of MMA again. Last weekend of MMA before Christmas, really, isn't it?
Thank fucking God.
Oh my God, I'm fucking bollocks.
I'm delighted. I am. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of all sport. I hate sport. I've said this before. I hate it. I don't like the darts anymore. I don't like anything anymore.
I love the darts on MMA. That's it. I have no interest in soccer. I think it's such a big waste of time.
I do.
Takes too much time out of me. Week.
It does. All sport does. It's my life practically. But I'm not gonna get a lot of fucking time off, to be honest. I'll be on most weekends when there's matches on.
What about
and stuff,
Monday
so.
To Friday?
I have a few days there, but there's fuck all matches on. When that's going on.
But you know, in MMA, you work every fucking weekend. It's not.
You have to keep tuned in.
We chose this path, Niall.
I wouldn't advise anyone to take this path.
We don't want the competition.
Yeah, that's true. But listen to me.
Okay.
I am generally, there's lots of rugby on, there's lots of soccer, but will I get to watch any of it? Fuck all. I love going, having points and watching sports sometimes, and I'm going to have very little opportunity this Christmas to do that, so I'm pissed off.
What a quote that is from Niall McGowan. I love having points. No way, do you?
No. It says you. You're the one drinking all weekend.
Oh, listen, mate. You told me you weren't out. And
excuse
then you said,
me.
Then you got very angry and told me that you had 4 points.
I said four. What's that?
That's going out. That's like... That's having a point.
That's like fucking four cups of tea, man. It's
seek
not
help for your
you.
Problem.
It's not a problem.
Seek help.
No, I did not go out. I went to a local.
It's that's going... No, so you went outside your house and you went to some place for alcohol.
No, disagree. But no, no, I've been very good the last few weeks. I'm very proud of myself. I bought myself new microphones and all, Petey. That could have gone in the pub and it didn't. There you go.
I'm very proud of you, Niall. I don't know what to say.
Thanks. What do you get me for Christmas?
Nothing, because I got you a gift when I went to Japan you went away. Nothing.
I have a
nothing
present
back.
For you for
You're doing
Christmas.
Your bollocks.
I do, yeah.
You're doing your
I
fucking
do.
Bollocks.
I do.
You're doing your bollocks.
I do.
You're just going to wrap up that bottle of what Ouzo I got you in Japan and give it back to me. I'm fucking... It's gonna get hectic now, the Christmas season. It's going to be a lot of...
What are your plans? Are you staying around? Are you going to Elaine's or what are you doing? Are you
We just eat dinner in our own house. So Elaine comes over to mine for breakfast. We open presents. I drop her back to her house. I go back to mine, eat dinner there. She eats dinner with her man then I go around.
But we're going to have an idea. Feck Elaine. Don't worry about
we'll do the podcast next week from a boozer or something. Yeah. Glimmerman's in Stony Barrett.
Or we're going to just have a chat about the year and stuff like that and what's going on.
Yeah, we'll figure something out.
Yeah, be a bit of fun anyway. I think it's sort of different than what we normally do maybe.
The Eurobash Christmas special.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the best way to do it. And we'll neck points while we're doing it as well. So
I don't think I'm going to want to get involved around with you because I tell you, but the time it takes me to drink one point, you'll have seven.
You'll be buying the fucking points. look at the look.
Looks like we're not meeting up next week.
I'm only joking.
But enjoy the podcast. We'll see you next week for this Christmas special that we don't really know what we're going to do with. But it's going to be great, I think.
It is. No, I'm looking forward to it. Points and talking about fights. It actually, I think when you drink sometimes, you talk a bit more shite.
You definitely do. Anyway, thank you very much. Out in Stillorgan once again, Southside, so it will be Northside next week, of course.
I hope they hear the Christmas ambience in this week's show. Can they hear?
Yeah, it's lovely. Don't hold it out for too long before we get copyright fucking
That's
whatever
true.
It is.
That's true.
So we'll see you later. Love yous loads. Mwah.